We're having a very experimental day here. You have tuned into Radiance by Design, and my name is Veronica Entwistle. And let's see, what we're going to be doing today is talking about bringing in the light, raising our frequencies, and really amping up as light workers. And partially that's in preparation for our Paradigm Shifters today, where we're experimenting on having a bit of a panel from the Universal Lightworkers Conference that's in Florida this coming weekend. I got a hold of them, and ironically, here they are in Florida. I just got the flyer 2 days ago, I guess, and looking for people thinking that would be great for our radio show, since we're talking all the time about raising our radiance, raising the frequencies, and this is the gathering of light workers down in Florida, and turns out it emanates from Bellingham, my home little area here. So we're working kitty-cornered across the country today with our little group of guests and Paradigm Shifters, and with Seth's help and Bob's help, we're going to explore having a little panel on what it takes to change the consciousness of the planet when you're moving frequency by frequency by frequency. Conscious light worker affecting workers en masse in a group, harmoniously affecting the collective. Is it possible, ladies and gentlemen? Well, tune in at 5 o'clock for an amazing experiment. Actually, it won't start until about 5:30. The show starts at 5, but we'll talk to some individual guests, and then we'll do the panel after 5:30. So anyway, that's your preamble for Radiance by Design today, which is a call-in show. This is a show all about you and all about me, and it's a call-in show so that you can call in and talk about the questions in your life right now. And we're also going to talk about, and we're not just going to talk about, we're going to explore raising our fields and frequencies consciously through the sacred geometric structure, and also through calling in lights of various kinds. And I'd like you to play with me and learn some techniques. I have to excuse myself. My sound is bouncing back and forth from my mic.
I can't handle it. It's too hard.
Just forgive us for a minute. We're just trying to get ourselves. I told you it was an experimental day. Yeah, that's a bit better. Thank you. I felt like talk about raising the fields and frequencies. If your microphone is set up in just a certain way, what happens is you get the bounce back, and a lot of you probably know this, you get the bounce back of the frequencies, and then it rattles around in my face and my teeth and my throat. I'm going, well, that's kind of a good example of how vibrations work between people and between materials, between everything that exists, between thoughts. And we can amplify these, consciously train them, consciously use them to enforce healing, evolution, harmony, and so on. So let's all start. Before we do our call, the other thing I want to talk about is identity, how focused we are on identity and success. What is it that makes us successful on the planet? How many of you feel frustrated because of maybe a dearth of money or not knowing where to go in your next step? What is it you're going through at this time? And let's focus on our identity, and our identity with a term like success. Like, what happens when you feel successful? What is it you think marks your success? Is it your hairdo? Is it your clothing? Is it the stability of your job on the planet? Is it your ability to be creative? Is it your ability to be in the right relationship and have children, or have a great house, or have fancy furniture, or no furniture at all, or because you meditate better than anyone else? So let's just take a look of how we measure success and how it ties with our personal identity. So in your calls and stuff, we're going to take a look at that in you, and we're going to do some clearing, some energy clearing, and bring through some high-frequency energies to help release you from all of that. Because I think if we release our attachments to success and, for example, the dance between success and identity, if we release some of our attachments to that, it's pretty amazing how much freer we'll feel to experience the pulse of the divine coming through us. We do lots of surrender exercises and so on in order to facilitate allowing divinity to pulse through us, through every cell, through every organ, But we don't do it when we're already perched up on some kind of self-devised pedestal of this is how I'm supposed to be in order to be successful. Pretty interesting stuff. So let's us do our sacred geometric meditation. I love these, and I hear from many of you that you like them as well. Maybe even love them, and then I want you to be calling in and telling me about your life. And also tell me if I'm loud enough, because sometimes near the end of the show, somebody will say, I can barely hear you today. I need to know that. So, all right, let's close our eyes, unless we're driving or walking on a steep sidewalk, and if you fall off, you bonk your head. I'm rubbing my hands together because it always is a really nice way when we're calling in energy to raise the fields and frequencies running through my body. You can feel it build up in your hands and shift itself up and down your arms and right into your chest. Deep breath, another way to shift old dense frequencies and raise the fields. Take a deep breath. One more. Now let's call in above your head a beautiful golden ball, and it's 2 to 4 miles above your head. And there's one 40 feet below your spine. And now let's drop a filament of light from the upper golden ball down through the spine and into the lower golden ball. Can you feel that? And now from the upper golden ball down to about waist height, about 20 feet from your body, drop a four-sided pyramid, a golden pyramid. And then from the waist upside down, another golden pyramid, four-sided. And the tips of the pyramids meet. So it's in a kind of an interesting shape, a diamond shape, but it's got four sides. And you're inside it, and you've also created in there a crystal ball. And the crystal ball is amazing. It's shining, shimmering. And now inside of that, you're in a disc, a crystalline. Actually, they keep showing me a disc. It's a crystalline disc, but it's a spiraling shape as well. So you're inside this crystal spiraling thing. It's like a mobile of some sort, very beautiful. It catches the light, but it's got full spectrum rapport with all of life. And there you are inside of it, and you're spinning in the center of the crystal ball. And as you're spinning, look at the crystalline grid in front of you, the mythical crystalline grid. And up on that is where we're going to place the little movies of what it is we're wanting to create. Remember I said we were going to work on identity and success and attachments to what we think it's supposed to be. So I'm going to put myself up there. I want to be multidimensional. I guess that's an identity. And I want to be very, very free, to have spirit come through or to have the divine pump through me. And that means free to hear, see, and experience intuitively what is the next appropriate step. That's what I'm putting up there today. Oh my, what a feeling. And now let's move to the next picture, which is a film of what it is you want to do on the planet. What's your next project? It can be anything you want. It can be a home, a family, a love affair. It can be something very small or something very big, a big travel, a book, a movie, a play, a radio show. Keep going. And now see yourself in the middle of it. See the resources coming to you and various people bringing you the connections you need to really make this a good one. And how happy you are and how much you love it. And if it's one of many, see yourself absolutely filling it out, having all of its colors in there, having it pumping and having the resources to complete and keep itself going and so on. And maybe you've stepped onto something else. You don't have to stay in it, do you? And it can keep a life of its own, adding to the collective, adding, spinning some dynamic into the collective. And now let's move into our sacred Galactic Healing Center. We're calling in our healing team. beings of consciousness, truth, light, love. Good. Now you have a table in the middle of this circle that they create. And the first person on the table is you. So go ahead and lie down. Take a load off your feet. Take a load off your identity. Surrender to the table and to the team, darling. Good work. And we're going to ask them, oh my, team I have today has got such a strong leader at the end, the foot end of my table. Oh my, it's very, very powerful. So we're asking what it is that you need to be doing, what's going on in your world, what needs healing. Good. How do you feel when this is going on? And then ask them near the end of it, have you got some idea about what I should do to maintain my health or to do some healing for myself? Okay, thank you. And you might want to jot that note down. If you do this regularly, you'll have quite an interesting array of suggestions over the next week or two. Now, they can duplicate themselves, so let's wrap our healing session in light. Wrap yourself in light and ask them to continue, please, so that it has a natural flow into completion. And then we'll set up a whole new center, and our team duplicates themselves, and there's a fresh table. And ask who's going to come in to lie on your new table. You're going to work with the team on this one. Okay, so I have someone. And then ask them what needs to be doing for this person. Okay. Sometimes what you're going to be doing is seeing them pulling things out of the person's brain or their head, or maybe just energies, pulling energies out of their body. Interesting, I have a little boy on here, and I don't think it's anybody I know. It's not familiar. And they're pulling things out of his head, and it's like energies and old programs and other people's feelings, and out of his heart, and out of his solar plexus. Excellent job. And we'll do the same thing, wrap that scenario in light. And then clear that space and have the light continue to make a womb that this healing can go on until it comes to a natural ceasing. And then put in a fresh table and the team's already fresh again. And who else comes in? Okay. A lot of people going through grief. I've got now two tables, and both people are going through deep, deep grief. Who's on your tables, and what are they going through? Now, it's interesting, because grief is very often deeply, deeply impacted by one's identity and how that identity is hitched up with the other person who may have left, you know? Sometimes when a partner dies, for example, the whole world has to change. Your whole way of finding stability and sharing and peace and all of that has to change. And as I was saying to a client this morning, it's really a biochemical change. So everything in your body has to change. So I have two different people lying on two different tables expressing the confusion of their grief, fresh, fresh grief. And we're running energy. The guides and the teamwork is pulling streams of energy off. Oh, I see. They're saying also that the ability to detox or to remove the vibrational fields of the other person is one of the swiftest ways of doing healing. So So that's taking the fields and frequencies out. Because remember, when we're with others, we're like tent caterpillars, aren't we? Mm-hmm. When we're with people and we've been there for a long time, it's very often like we look like them, for heaven's sakes, because we've exchanged so much subtle energy and so much even biochemical energy that there's a real, when someone dies, a part of you dies. So it's a really big wounding. So let's see if we can run enough energy through each of these people to help them restore their own energy without as much pain and suffering. And I'm seeing them sending golden light and bright fuchsia light right up the feet of the male that I have over here on the right. And on the left, I'm seeing this woman she has a need for much more of a gold and blue energy. What's happening in your healing team? If I say to you, run a violet color, and you see a fuchsia or blue or gold, you follow that because they tell you, you know, intuitively you're going to see what would be most appropriate. That's it. So I'll let them help both of these people readjust their vibrational identity. It's interesting about identity, isn't it? And then wrap them both in light, having both of these little healing experiences in light, and send them off to be completed. And you know what's really interesting is you want to send your team to help. Jackie Salvitti, I work with her on Thursday nights, for those of you who don't know, and she always sends the team. So if you've got a problem and you're one of her patients, clients, whatever we call them, she'll send the team to help you even when she's not working with you, and you can really feel the difference. But we have the ability to do that as well, each of us, to call forth an awareness and experience with the team and to send them along. So when my friend has not finished her grieving yet, I can every now and then really be conscious of sending the team. And she can be conscious of calling them in as well. Okay, we're wrapping that in light. And now let's do a political one. The political stuff is getting very rambunctious again. And the guides, remember I told you last week that they were very strong about saying, we need to be consciously sending strong light, talk about sending, over to Mr. Obama because the pressures are on in the White House. The pressures are on to make changes and withstand the polarity or the polarization of preferences that's going on right now. So he needs a lot of help. So let's take a moment and let's call in from the universe. Let's reach up with the mind and call in a pink fuchsia salmon-y kind of light. And it comes in with an awful lot of like platinum light and gold light as well, is from my experience. Bring it in through the top of your head. Shoot it down through your chest. Send it out the chest to Mr. Obama and his whole administration. Send this amazing bright, bright pink light to him. And it's a light of harmony, of love, of evolution, of support for all humanity, of all life. Support for all life. And it's a like a balm, not with an OMB, but a BALM, for feelings of both anxiety and tremendous defensiveness. So let's send it out to Obama and the administration throughout his family. And let's take that ribbon of light and dot it all around the world where you know that there's trauma, there's loss, there's change required so that we can all live on the planet and share. That's it. And send it all over to the hot spots on the planet. And now send it to the entire planet so that we're just covering, we're basking. We have Mother Earth basking in this beautiful, multidimensional pink light. Mother Earth needs some healing too from all the scrapping we've been doing with her for many thousands of years. And as you cover the world with this pink light, bring it back into yourself, into your chest, with gratitude. And as before we close off our healing room, let's ask if there's any other message for ourselves. Oh, I just got this big peace came right across. Now come back into your spinning, spiraling, crystalline chamber in the middle of the structure. And spin and spin and spin. Now come on into the room. Now that's really interesting because I don't know how you feel, but for me, calling in the light, it's really, really interesting when I call up the various parts of the structure, how my body tingles and sparkles and changes in vibration and frequency as I call it forth. What happens with you? Oh, goody, we already have a caller. Are you going to tell me what happens with you? Good afternoon, you're on the air.
Hi, Veronica, this is Vicki.
Hi, Vicki, how are you?
Feedback? Is that better?
What's that?
I didn't know if you were hearing the feedback.
Yeah, I'm hearing the feedback. Is this feedback that we're getting?
I think it's because I'm too close to my computer.
Oh, okay.
Is that better?
Just turn it down.
Yeah, well. Hi.
Hi. How are you?
So I was calling because I saw in your little note that it was denser frequencies or energy stuck inside.
Yes.
Is it always?
And you want to
so
have
I was, this is a weird phone. I wonder if I'm thinking about using my other phone. I'm not sure. It's almost like I'm in this numb zone.
Mm-hmm.
Hello?
I'm seeing right down in the belly area in the lower left quadrant, there seems to be kind of like a triangle-shaped dense frequency. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
And it's got, if I enter it, let's wrap ourselves in light, everybody at home. Because we want to do this. We just don't want to take on each other. We want to shift the frequency and move to a higher level, all of us together. If one can go, we can all go, right? All right, so it's like that. When I go into it, Vicki, it seems like there's a deep, like a torment in there, and it's ancient. It's old, 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 old. And you know what's interesting?
Who would have thought?
What are you, a million years old or what, girl?
I know. And I'm supposed to clear this stuff in.
What'd you say?
I said it's about clearing it, and I don't have a clue on what it is.
You know what? I'm finding out more and more. We don't have to really know what it is. We just need to
keep
pulling, yanking, and transforming. Do you remember, and this is for everybody at home, if you can pull on that piece, and everybody at home's got some energy you want to move. I've got one right now. It's in my, just above my stomach on the left. It's not the heart, just below that.
Right.
But so we always have these. Go ahead.
Well, I've been having quite a bit of stomach stuff.
Well, that makes sense because we always have these little things. And, you know, one of the things that you're doing when you find it, you seem to compress. Did you hear me talking about our identity? When you
right,
find
some
of these things, you go into a judgment and a compression. Do you know that?
Yes, I do. And blame. And
yeah. And you know what? We're ancient. I mean, really old. We're amazing critters. B, we're really empathic. So we can have something that's really old that's just slipped through us from someone else. You know what I mean? Like, we don't really need to mine them. We used to mine them really diligently for who was
right.
in there, what did I do, what was the experience, what did it mean. We're being told lately, don't do that. Step out of it. Step out of it as fast as you can.
Yeah.
And the reason for that is, you can tell me.
Because I really, you know, I have this desire to step out of that old lineage. I'm just kind of bored with it.
Where do you want to go to? What are you stepping to, Miss Vicki?
See, that's the wonder.
Is it really? Because I think you know.
I think I would like to step out of such harsh judgment and criticism and self-blame that I fall into, that old trap.
What do you believe?
And know that.
What do you believe a human being is?
Pardon?
What do you believe a human being is?
I don't much like them, obviously.
Well,
and here I am one.
I know. And why did you choose being a human being?
To experience.
Okay. And how are you doing on the experience level?
Well, I've been going out and experiencing wonderful things, but it's when I come in that it seems a little devastating at times. Trapped in, confined.
Okay, so let's us take care of something, at least one. But I want to say this to people at home as well, because what we've got is a brain called a computer. That's my cheeky way of interpreting it. Because when I look at the belly and the solar plexus and the fact that you keep running the kind of self-judgment program, I'm going, you know something, Vicki, you've got these incredible patternings done in your brain, and I know you're a wonderful healer. And it seems like to shift the brain patterning is going to be most important right now than just tweaking out some of our...
So how do you shift the brain pattern?
Well, let's see if we can't raise some frequencies around our brains, everybody. Here's what I'm seeing. It's down on the left side of your brain. It looks like you've got some really funny patterns that keep re-evoking and re-evoking and re-evoking. So if I say, I want my computer to move beyond itself, but I'm going to leave the programs running, then we've got a problem, don't we? Does that make sense?
Yeah. Makes my eyeball hurt, but it's okay.
Oh, isn't this fun? We'll just poke Vicki a bit and see how she feels at the end of it.
Poke me here. So okay. Is that why when that program's running, is that why I get these little tinglies back there? Or is that the program shifting?
I think that the program wants to run and you're trying to shift, so you got yourself some tension there. And energy-wise, I think what we'll do is build up a frequency, and I know you know how to do this. I'm just opening my hands and calling in with my palms upward and calling in light from the universe. You have amazing guides around you. And then we're sending the light, we're putting it under your chin. I don't know if you can feel this. And we're sending the light up through your brainstem. And we're sending it up through the lobes of the brain. Until it reaches that part of you, and I know I'm ignoring your body here, but we're doing it on purpose. It reaches that part of your brain that's going to start feeling edgy. Do you feel that?
Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to increase the light.
It's funny, it felt like you were pulling it out of mine. There's this place in between where the shoulder and the neck come together, right in the middle of that area. I always call that the past life hole.
Oh, that's good.
That's what it felt like it was starting to be pulled out of.
Good, because something's going on. I can feel it. My own empathy, and people at home, pay attention to your empathy, too, because I've had a lot of discussions with people about that lately. You can learn a great deal about yourself. Where we empathize with Vicki, for example, has a lot to do with where you yourself have energy, right? So I'm running my hands back to the base of your neck again. And then it seems like there's also a tingling at the top of your head. Is that right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. What does it feel like?
It feels like the top of my head just opened and my nose went flat.
Well, it looks okay. Okay, so we're running.
And it feels now it's pulling in my solar plexus.
Okay, so I'm going back to your head, and now we're going to run that energy that we've called in from the universe. We're running it up through Vicki's brainstem. You can run it up through your own and have it go up through the back, the occipital lobe, and the... Okay, good. And then I've got my hands on either side of your brain. Can you feel that?
Yeah, I do feel that. That actually feels really good.
Okay. Now I'm dipping my hands into the corpus callosum, the center seam, for those of you who don't recognize that term. And then just curling my hands from side to side across your brain. Good. And something calmed down in the upper left lobe. Something went. Did you feel that?
It did.
All right. So now
it relaxed. I felt my whole body relax, actually.
Oh, good. Because that was a little part that's been nattering at you, and it's ancient, ancient, ancient. So maybe what we're getting, okay, just a sec. Let's, and I can't do your whole body because then nobody else will get on the air.
Right. Yeah.
But I'm delighted that you called because you're very wise and you're very, your body's very quixotic. Your energy patterns are, and I want to say this. Oh, what I've done with my hands is I've just curled around Vicki's brain and brought them back to the brain stem, close your hands, and then I just wipe them off so at least we don't leave her gaping out there.
Mm-hmm.
And then back into your body, I go, you have several things going as you have a terrific amount of empathy for other people, and you still have a lot of patterning that you're wanting to get rid of, but you got to stop judging them because this is the time in history where we can actually step out of that stuff. And it may not be easy, but we can do it. We don't really have to mind them for our history anymore.
Yeah, and that's my desire to step out of it and not judge myself for stepping out of it.
Yeah, and you know what? If you're really cantankerous and crotchety and it's the 55,000th time you've experienced that, can't you say, good for me? Can you try that?
Yeah.
Because the thing about you is if you can relax into some kind of attitude like that, you have tremendous receptivity of higher wisdom. And I believe that that's trying to come through as well. That you can drop back. You know, it's like if somebody's a really big giver and you can't give them anything. Have you ever experienced people like that?
Uh-huh.
It's a little bit like you're the one, you can't be given anything because if spirit comes to you, you've got a lot of reasons why you're not ready for it or you don't deserve it or something. You know what I mean?
So I'm just a busy gal.
Yeah, and you're a really good, bright spirit. You're one who's got the ability to build frequencies and throw them out there. I mean, we can do that, you guys. We can really, and Vicki, you're really good at it. You can build those frequencies and send them out there and get the collective empathizing with, if you will, a higher frequency or riding on the tails of higher frequencies.
Yeah.
And that's what you can do.
Yeah.
That makes
sense?
Yeah.
I believe that. I believe I can do that. At least that'll give me something to do.
Yeah, and every now and then when you screw up or whatever you call screwing up and go back into an old way of being, give yourself a big hug and say, good for me. At least I'm consistent, you know?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Remember, Vicki, God doesn't make mistakes.
Well, thank you.
All right. Thank you for your call. Much love to you.
Uh-huh. Much love back.
Okay. Now, that was a kind of an interesting session of moving energy to change the reality. The other thing that's really important, oh, and I want you to call in. We have like 3 or 4 lines, don't we, Bob? We have 4 lines? Oh, my. We can get a whole bunch of you on the air. In fact, we're going to do a panel in our 5 to 6 slot today, Paradigm Shifters. We're going to do a panel of universal light workers talking about changing the collective altogether. At least we're going to start it at 5:30. We have a little music and some fun in the first half. Anyway, so call in with your questions. We want to talk about, let me see now, let's see who I can talk to out there. Oh, I see 2 people. One has got some incredible skin damage, probably from some kind of burn or some kind of fire or something. It's really uncomfortable. And the other one has a broken bone. I think it's the left leg, the femur. So we're going to call in, everybody together, we're going to call in the violet flame, and we're going to apply the violet flame to whatever you consider to be a sore thing. So, for example, we can apply it to our friend who's got a burnt face. I can't tell if it's I think it's a young woman. She's really burnt. It looks like her right cheek is really burned. But if you've got anything like even a mole or a wart and you've got some kind of damage going on, and then you can choose yourself. So we're going to call in the violet flame. And the violet flame, for all of you who don't know, is Saint Germain's tool for healing that he left with us in the 1800s. And you call, all you do is you call in the violet flame. I always open my palms to the sky, and I feel it land on my palm. and you apply that violet flame directly to where there's damage. So we have it applied to this young woman's face, where there's been some burn, or any place you've got some kind of physical sore or injury. And now, and we're also applying it simultaneously to this person's broken leg, upper leg. Yeah, and the leg is quite badly broken, actually. And we're applying the violet flame to that. And what you do is you see the violet flame burning there, and you actually can feel it burning there, and you see it pulsing. And you see that it burns and all it does is transform. You're driving it with your mind. All it does is transform all the confusing frequencies of memory, the stuff that Vicki was talking about, the memory from other lives and so on, and the confusion about other lives. All it does is transforms that and raises the field and frequency. And you can actually heal something that looks like a really dreadful wound whilst you're just using the violet flame. So practice that. I always say to people, we could probably do our facelifts with that too. I used to say I didn't care about a facelift, but now that I'm 100 years old, I'm considering that it might be important. But I don't see why we can't do that with a violet flame. I'm very interested in this person's broken leg as well, and seeing that there's a kind of a shattered bone in there. So I'm like putting the violet flame right inside the thigh where I see it broken, and having the violet flame burn and burn and burn. Because remember this, that we've learned this for a long time. We don't just have accidents. Every accident is telling us something about our body, our journey, what we're experiencing, where our resistances are, and so on. So this person didn't break his leg for no reason at all. He broke it in order to slow himself down and make himself think about how he was going forward into the world at this time. In fact, I'll do a little reading on him. He's been going forward in a really strange way. He's been a little bit hard, a little bit cold, going forward in a very determined way, but not really wanting to do what he's doing, and he's really being aggravated with a lot of people around him at the same time. So he's getting stopped. It's the right leg. And I thought it was the left leg, but it looks like it's the right leg, and it's actually the left leg. So I'm asking the guides about that, and they're saying it's because he needs to learn to listen to his inner guidance and so on, because he needs to shift his direction somewhat. And he also needs to lay off people around him, because just because he's being victimized by his own stubbornness or his willfulness, it doesn't mean it's everybody else's fault, right? Now, I didn't bring my numbers here, so I'd love you to call in, and I know your numbers are sitting right there on your computer. Oh, goody, you were as fast as I was. You're welcome to the show. Good afternoon.
Hi, Ronnie. It's Cynthia.
Hi, Cynthia. How you doing?
Well, I'm okay. My move is, 10 days and counting, leaving Carmel.
Oh,
and
wow.
I recently, was brought to my attention that there's a job here now that might work for me. And I don't know if that just is the universe testing me to make sure I want to leave, or if it's just representing my resistance to leaving, or if it's just nothing.
Okay, I want you to ask yourself this. What do you feel in your gut, literally, in your gastrointestinal system about staying?
About change?
About staying.
Oh, about staying.
Mm-hmm.
In my gut, if I'm really honest with myself,
mm-hmm.
I don't want to stay.
Then I think it's the universe just testing you. I think it's just so many. One of the things you have to remember is you do have a number of options. It doesn't feel like it. For people who haven't
right.
recognized your voice, Cynthia's been in a life-changing period for about 2 years?
Like 8 years.
Oh, 8 years.
It's been since 01, yeah.
Wow. And it's been a real challenge, especially as a single mom and all of that. But you look like the way the guides are showing it, is you look like you're trying to get away from Monterey all the way along.
Yes.
And yet you're afraid to leave.
Yes.
And
now,
one of the biggest reasons you're afraid to leave is your daughter, right?
Yes.
Okay. And so the guides are saying this, is that there is another position coming up. You have two more towns with positions coming up pretty fast. You know that?
No, I didn't know that, because nothing's actually come across my desk, so to speak.
Nothing's been easy on this this role, has it?
No. I'm not down about it. I just, you know, I guess my identity's always been wrapped up in having a solid plan, and I haven't had one for a while, and I feel like I'm walking with no foundation every day, but I do it.
So what do you think that means metaphysically, spiritually?
That I don't have a foundation?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I don't think I've been in the I don't know for such a long time. I mean, I've been in the I don't know, but waking up every morning and saying, okay, I don't know again today, okay.
You know,
that's
what's
all
interesting?
Right.
When I look back on my own transformation times, I just say, well, I had to keep being broken and being broken and being broken and being broken because I was so willful and determined about either in my rebellion or in my drive to do it this way or that. And I feel like you might not be as difficult as I was, but you have been broken over and over again until your foundation is being purified and changed, and it's not easy, you know. And
okay.
I think it's also happening, I've never seen it this way before, Cynthia, but it's happening to your daughter as well.
Right.
And
it
that's,
is.
And that's, go ahead.
No, no, you go ahead.
I was just going to say that's not easy to witness in a young person, but in her case, it's a really good thing because she's perching herself on a bunch of illusions right now, and she's being broken away from them rather young, and that's a good thing, you know? So she's
yes.
basically following you even though she's screaming at you.
Yes, she is screaming at me literally every day.
That's charming,
but,
isn't it?
So, my plan is to still, you know, go to Oregon. We've talked about it. Yet I don't, now I had two little part-time jobs working up there, but now they fell through or they haven't manifested as complete as I needed. And so now I'm thinking, well, I guess I'm still going there, even though I don't know why, because it's, I don't know. But that's where I'm headed is until I feel otherwise.
Did you have an offer from, say, Baltimore or one of those places over there?
Not yet. I'm originally from Baltimore. That is my hometown. I should say my place of birth, and I spent time there. But I haven't had an offer from anywhere. And yet I do feel, I don't know what I feel, actually. I'm worried about my daughter. I know that prevents me from being totally open to options. I want to be a good example for her in trusting the universe and God, but I don't know if I'm even, I don't even know if I'm even being successful at that.
Well, I think you're still fighting something really hard, but I think you've broken down a lot of your walls over the last couple of years. Even on this radio show, you have come through with a different kind of vehemence and a much lighter, and you know, your life has been hard, but you're getting lighter and lighter. Softer inside and more, what would we say, aware of the transient nature of life and the amazing magic there is. There's something about you that's getting to be a much higher frequency.
And that's okay. I mean, I can, you know, accept ascending, you know, and my soul's journey and things. I mean, like in 10 days, I'm basically going to be homeless. My stuff's going to be in storage, and I'm going to be in my car.
Well, cancel the homeless thought, but there's some kind of offer coming from farther east as well. I think you're going to get
okay.
a couple of new offers, and I believe that you need to get out of Monterey. I'm not sure what the ley lines are, the astrological, astrocartography data and all that is. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like you ought to get away from that part of the world.
Yeah, and none of that surprises me. I'm just wondering why my daughter is clinging at me so bad. She told me I'm leaving her, I'm abandoning her, I'm, you know, and I have my own abandonment issues that my mom left me, so I'm, like, hypersensitive to that. And
you could remind her, see, first of all, she's acting out. The call before you was Vicki, and we were talking about empathizing with one another's deep kind of programming, and
mm-hmm.
your daughter has actually got your program in her. You know, it's funny, they take on. Of course,
yes.
they're born in our belly, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is program central, is it not?
Right.
And so I'm going, some of her stuff is almost as if she's trying to work out your abandonment stuff as well. And she's screaming and yelling because she's scared. She doesn't know where she herself wants to be. So she can't really hitch a ride on you because you're not stable. And that's, I think, is bringing up her deep-held abandonment issues that are probably yours, or they're maybe lineage. It doesn't look like she had them from being a child. You know how we skip our own energy back and forth?
Right. I don't think they're hers either. I do think they're mine, and I feel bad that she's kind of picked them up. And yet
that is the name of the game, and nobody told us it was going to be like that.
Right.
But that is, I see it over and over. It happened with me. It happens with a lot of people, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like not something we were ever trained to handle, Cynthia. Like you could say to her, I feel abandoned by you when you're leaving this opportunity in Fresno or whatever it is you want to say.
Right.
You know, and be clear about that. She can come with you if she wants, but, you know, you're not going to stop your life for her when she can't make up her mind.
Right, okay.
Don't let her corner you like that.
Okay.
You know, like turn the tables a little bit. She loves
yeah,
you. You know, go ahead.
She's definitely angry at me because I'm not stable.
But you know why? It's because she's scared. When your children are scared, they get madder at us than, you know, it's not just a nice linear thing, is it? You know, she's scared.
Yeah.
She doesn't know where to
I mean,
go or what to do or who to care about right now.
That's so true. That's exactly where she is, and I want to help her. And yet, I do. I feel like I'm leaving her in the middle of when she's so fragmented. I just feel so bad.
Well, you want to try to do that job?
Well, I mean, I sent him my I emailed my resume to them.
Okay.
I don't know if they've gotten it. You know, I sent it yesterday. And it's a situation where it's a residence, it's a live-in to run in a magnificent inn. I mean, state-of-the-art private inn with a horse barn, which is like private. My daughter would be like in seventh heaven.
Well, it sounds like it would be a really great thing for the two of you. You know,
right.
My thing, Cynthia, is that what they show is that area is really hard for you. But the job might be just wonderful for now, and it would answer your question. You're going to have another opportunity come up, too, that's a long way away. But if you wanted to take it, there's no crime in that. I just find that the area is harder on you than some areas are going to be.
And I understand, but would it be okay if I was offered this? Well, first of all, do you think I'm even going to be offered this position?
I think you're going to be in the running.
Okay.
And
would this be enough if I did it for half a year and say to Cassandra, this is the best I can do for you, I can't do one more day after that? I mean, if I take that position, she's probably not going to return to Fresno, and I guess I'm still hoping that she will.
But isn't it interesting with our kids that she wants you to be stable in a place that's not great for you and she won't go to what's good for her? It's kind of interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we haven't had many conversations about it. Intellectually, she gets it, that there's an opportunity there for her and that there's not one for me here. She gets all that, but yet she's still resisting returning there. Is there something there that happened that I don't know about that she's not telling me that was so awful that she can't even consider going back there?
No, I think she just got all torn up because she wasn't. Remember you explained to us, I think it was on the air, that she was in a temporary situation, so she didn't do the big rides and so on. So she
mm-hmm.
didn't have that kind of status that would have helped her. We were talking in this show about identity and success and how that's a tricky combination of things, and she didn't get that feeling of being in quotes, special or powerful there.
Exactly.
And then her relationship also pulled her down, which you know. And she's at an age which in which we suffer anyway at that age, don't we, trying to find our power. So not only is she shaking that way, but her mom is going all over the place. So I can sort of understand it. It's like, can you sit and have a powwow with her? It's almost like she's screaming because she's scared. Can you sit and have a powwow and say, okay, these are the pieces. I want to be supportive to you, but I don't know how to do it. So let's put our heads together, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And she's still going to yell at you, but I think she could get calmer if you had a talk like that each morning for a bit. You don't have that many mornings left there.
Right.
And it looks like you're going to get a feedback from that opportunity, from that at least you're going to get one email or something back from them and a possibility of an interview. Now I'm going to have to say goodbye because I have to get ready for my next show.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Ronnie. As always, I really so appreciate your input.
Well, keep me posted. Keep us all posted because we're all here together.
Okay.
Let's all send light to Cynthia, wrap her in light so she can relax herself and hear the messages because there is a place for you, Miss Cynthia. All right. Many blessings. So this is Veronica Entwistle, and what we're going to do now is take a few minutes break, and then we're going to go into Paradigm Shifters. And on Paradigm Shifters, you're going to meet a real interesting group of people from their different kinds of healers. You're going to meet Armand and Angelina, and they do what they call papara instead of opera. And so you're going to hear a sound. If you listen to my normal sound healing, beautiful music that brings us into the show. Right after that, there's going to be a song, which is da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I forget what it's called. But anyway, it's a very familiar Bach piece that they often play at weddings and so on. And this is Angelina singing when I believe that Armand is backing her up. And he's a delightful, I haven't talked to her yet, but he's a delightful character, and he's also a humorist. So we're going to talk to them for a little bit, and then we're going to talk to Jean Adrienne, and she's a healer and also has a Seventh Wave radio show. We're going to talk to her, and we're going to talk to Judith, whose last name is, I think, something like Luminosky, but I'm thinking I have the wrong pronunciation. But in any case, she's a crystal specialist. She's a crystal healer. She calls her website Crystal Friends. So what we're going to do is get them all on, finally, by about 5:30, and talk in a panel form about what it takes to shift the frequency of the collective and get us all moving to a much higher consciousness as a group of beings, as one species or as a whole planetary interaction. I don't know. And we've never done a panel before, so who knows what's going to happen. It could be chaos. It could be a lot of fun. It won't be call-in, and we might have to abandon it and do one at a time, but I think we're going to have a fun time. They're representing the Universal Light Workers Conference in Florida this coming weekend. You can check that out, UCL.com. And next Thursday night, I'm going to be on with Jackie Salvitti again. She was off last week, so this week is not a pre-record. It's the real record. We're going to be on there talking to, we'll be interviewing the team, and we'll see what's up there. And I'm not sure who's going to be my guest next week. If you'd like to make a guest suggestion, or if you'd like to be on my mailing list, or if you'd like a session with me, it's Veronica at Veronica Entwistle, ENTWISTLE.com. Many blessings to all of you. Remember, call in frequencies, frequently call in frequencies. Call in the gold, call in the blue. Trust your intuition to help you choose which one. Call it in from the universe and run it through your body like acupuncture, and then send it back out to people, because we can help each other raise our field and frequency. We'll talk to you at the top of the hour, and I say goodbye. Thanks for listening, and many, many blessings.